This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
This morning, I just feel like God's got a real word for us. He's been really challenging me and speaking to me in this time as I've been preparing, and I just really feel excited about what he has for you this morning. So, you know, and I think, you know, if we can just respond to him, we'll just see so much more fruitfulness in our relationships in the year ahead. And we also will have that privilege of being able to see people come to know Jesus. So the Bible teaches us that the secret to building the church and extending the kingdom is to believe in Jesus and to love one another. And this morning, I just want to unpack that a little bit. So I'm exploring with you what living abundant life, an abundant life that is rich in relationship, might look like. David started the series of Abundant Life by talking about the need to wait patiently and for the fulfillment of God's word to us, and to work on that way of being gracious with one another and patient with each other. And then Helen talked about the need to abide in the presence of God and to get to know Jesus in his fullness. She encouraged us that when we do that, Jesus' love, his nature, his character become ours. And his spirit just flows out from us. And we can build relationship with Jesus by taking time to observe him and his interactions with people through the Bible stories. So today, I just want to explore with you how out of that place of spending time with Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, in our devotions and our quiet times, God's love pours through us to others. And as we love them as Jesus loves us, and we respond to them in the way that Jesus would respond to them, we live abundantly, enjoying a wealth and variety of relationships. Now, some of you will have already observed that I'm just no expert in this area. I haven't got it all down. And some of you probably have, and the rest of us don't mind you for thinking that. But it's been an ongoing work for my life for a lot of years. And though I might not be perfect now, I know I'm growing and getting better. And as I learn to follow Jesus closely every day, rest in his truth, and allow the Holy Spirit to help me more consistently walk in obedience and integrity in believing Jesus is the Son of God, and he is who he says he is, and choosing to love others as he's loved me. So remembering that he's just loved me so much that he laid down his life that I might know the Father and have all my sins forgiven. You see, I grew up in a large family. The relationships in our family were generally quite good. We prayed for one another. We had fun. We adventured together. People looking in often thought our family was a bit of a model family. You know, it caused a bit of a stir. These five girls turning up on a Sunday morning and all just worshiping and praising Jesus. But what they didn't know, what they didn't see, was that the year-on-year growing sibling rivalries, the manipulation, the control, and the building resentments and hostilities. And over time, those relationships became increasingly toxic and damaging to one another, and we began withdrawing from each other. And I suppose that I would offer a word of caution to all of you. Never assume what is going on in other people's relationships. Sometimes the things on the inside are not what you see on the outside. And let's just burst a myth or two. Just because someone is married and has children, don't believe they must be rich in relationship. They may not be. And just as someone who lives on their own is not necessarily poor in relationship. Okay, so let's just pause there for a moment. What does it mean to be living a life that is rich in relationship? And what do we mean by the word relationship? How many relationships do you have in your life? Some of your relationships you'll have had all your life, and some of them will be as new as somebody you've met this morning. So just take a moment and ponder those relationships in your life. What are the relationships like? Maybe they're good, maybe they're bad, maybe you've got a mixture of good and bad, maybe you've had awkward relationships or broken relationships, maybe you've had fun and rewarding relationships, maybe you don't feel you have any significant relationships. Maybe you have a handful of supportive and empowering relationships. So either just sit quietly and just contemplate about the relationships in your life, or talk to someone next to you if you prefer, and consider, as a follower of Jesus, is your life rich in relationship? And if it is rich in relationship, why is it? And if it isn't, why isn't it? So just take 30 seconds now. So let's just pray. Holy Spirit, come and bring revelation from your word. Bring understanding. Amen. Robert Holden, a British psychologist, author, and broadcaster, is quoted as saying, "Your relationship with yourself sets the tone for every other relationship you have." Robert Holden was onto something. But he just missed that even more importantly, our relationship with Jesus sets the tone for every aspect of our lives. It is often our family circumstances from birth that inform the way we feel about ourselves, the way we feel about others, and in turn, God. To be rich in relationship isn't always to do with the amount of time we spend with someone or even how often you see them. Although if the relationship is rich in nature, we naturally might want to spend more time and frequency with that person. Being rich in relationship has to do with the quality of the relationship, being secure in the knowledge of mutual love, respect, and inspiring one another to better things. They're protective and they're empowering. So just take for an example that you might actually be somebody who can religiously have a devotional life every single day. But if you aren't, and I aren't, listening to Jesus and obeying his word, and we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to convict and change us, then we're unlikely to grow in relationship with Jesus. And it will lack the transformational and empowering nature of knowing Jesus and spending time with him. Despite Jesus' presence with us all the time, we are in effect just ignoring him and allowing him, and we're just not allowing him the room to make us like him. But also, we might have relationships with others that are not strengthening us and enabling us to live our best selves, and they're not rich in nature. Rich relationship with God and others secures us, empowers us for abundant living. So let's open up our Bibles. Let's turn and we're going to move to 1 John. Now, the disciple John, he wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John letters. He also wrote the Gospel of John and the Book of Revelation. Now, John knew Jesus personally and was one of the three disciples with whom Jesus spent a lot of his time. John described himself as the one who Jesus loved, highlighting that he knew God's love for him and how it had transformed his life, not that Jesus loved him more than others. So therefore, what John has to say about knowing Jesus and loving others and relationships with one another is something we should be particularly paying attention to. So let's 1 John 3:11-12. "For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other." You see, if we love, we know that we're no longer spiritually dead, but alive in Jesus. Let's carry on, verse 14. "Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him." And just in case you were in any doubt, yes, the Bible does say that if I hate my brother or sister, I am a murderer. And the same applies to each of you. So let's just deal with that one. Now, right now, before we go any further, let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come and search our hearts and search our minds and reveal to us if we have not loved as we should, and to expose if there's any offensive way in us. Ask Jesus to throw light on areas where you might have harbored unforgiveness and that has led to hatred. Just confess it now. Let's let Jesus have it so we don't miss what he has for us, because we're parked up on a fence with somebody. So just take a moment and just pray quietly with Jesus now. So if you want to pray with me now, please do. The words are on the screen. Jesus, right here, right now, I confess to you that I am fallen. And I have spoken and thought and acted with hatred towards my brothers and sisters. I ask for your forgiveness. I repent, I rebuke and renounce that hatred. Thank you for your blood on the cross that paid for my sin. And so I give it to you. I ask in its place that you put deep, deep love and acceptance of my brothers and sisters. Amen. So let's continue reading where we got off. We're at verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. You see, I just love that verse in verse 18. You know, dear children, let's not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. But in reality, when I read those words, I'm often always full of conviction that I have just sat in my own comforts, my fun, my luxuries, and I've closed my eyes to the plight of others. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live like that anymore, because I found there's greater reward and greater joy in and greater abundant living when I live in complete obedience to God's commands and loving others. So let's continue reading 19. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. I long to have a heart at rest in God's presence, don't you? Just to come before him and just know you're at rest. So let's pin back our ears. Let's open our eyes. Let's just soften our hearts. And let's just invite the Holy Spirit to bring revelation to what's written here that we might enjoy abundant living. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. So like me, sometimes you might read these words and feel this conviction, and it almost feels like a burden of condemnation. And when I'm resting in God's presence and look at the contents of my heart, I can be surprised by the ugliness and lack of love that I find there. But when I bring it out into the open, not hiding it from Jesus, just letting him have it, he shows me the way, why I feel the way I do. He gently and lovingly reveals that he knows me. He knows me better than I know myself. And he understands my fallenness, his brokenness. He understands my past, my present. He knows what's going to happen in the future. And because he knows everything about me, he has compassion on me. God is greater than my heart, and he can forgive. He gently restores and he shows his unconditional love as I lay down my lack of love and learn to love his way. Verse 21. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And it's in that place of abiding with Jesus in the presence of the Father, allowing the Holy Spirit to change and inspire us to obedience. It is in keeping God's commands that we can approach God with confidence. We can be fearless like John the disciple because we're convinced of his love and his acceptance. Verse 23, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know by the Spirit he gave us. I'm just curious that we're commanded to believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and to love one another as he commanded us to. But I'm also curious that believing in the Son Jesus Christ and loving one another are linked. And it's an obedience that the Spirit within us confirms that Jesus lives in us. Our hearts are at rest in his presence. So let's look at John 13. We're going back to the Gospel now, the Gospel of John. So you're going to turn back in your Bible to John 13, verse 34 to 35. And it says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And then we're going to move towards the back of the Bible and we're going to move forward to Acts. Acts 2, verse 42. If you, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And we're looking at the fellowship of the believers. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many signs and wonders performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily, those who were being saved." You see, these verses really inspire me because they're a picture of an abundant life rich in relationship. They also excite me because they reveal the secret to making Jesus known to others. By loving one another, people will know that we are followers of Jesus. In John 13, Jesus gave Peter the secret of how to build a church at a time when Peter was full of fear and about to deny Jesus. But then in Acts 2, we read that all the disciples were gathered in an upper room, waiting, praying, frightened and uncertain, a bit like us now coming out of a pandemic, just newly gathering again. As they prayed, the Holy Spirit fell on them in great power and filled them with boldness and a deep love. And how do I know they were filled with a deep love? Because of what they did. All the believers were together. They had everything in common and they gave sacrificially to anyone who was in need, and they were meeting daily. They did not love with just words, but with extravagant action and truth and with sincere hearts. Have we read these passages so many times that we've just missed a shockingly obvious thing? That the disciples and those gathered were so full of the Holy Spirit that they were filled with a remarkable boldness and all fear was gone, enabling freedom to love richly and lavishly. Peter, who had been too frightened to acknowledge that he knew Jesus at the night of his arrest, is suddenly, in the wake of a crucifixion and threats to the disciples, standing before crowds and preaching the good news of Jesus. It is interesting that when fear is displaced and love is overflowing, people cannot help but speak about Jesus. Do you see the connection? So let's go back to 1 John, and we're going to move to chapter 4 in 1 John. And it says, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." You see, when we fear, we're divisive, we're unkind, and we weaponize our language and our behaviors. And in our fear and our pain, we justify it to ourselves, and we murder our brothers and sisters, causing harm to our closest relationships. Going back to my family of origin, I remember times I would avoid seeing my family, or I would try to keep the time spent with them to a minimum due to us all continuing patterns of hurtful behaviors and comments. And frequently I expressed I wanted to see change. But as I prayed over a few really upsetting reunions, I just sensed Jesus say to follow him and to step away from the feuding. Sadly, those feuds continued without me. And while I've experienced the pain of separation from members of my family, Jesus was showing me that he had to remove me from my family of origin in order to deconstruct unhealthy patterns of relationship and show me a better way. In September, I spoke to you about the first family being God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. At the time, we identified together that this first family is marked by a deep love, faithfulness, unity, and acceptance. But I'd also like to highlight that this family is also marked by no fear because of the completeness of love. When we wait for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to meet with us, and we seek their presence, and we learn to abide with them, we learn new patterns of relationship. As we spend time with Jesus, we learn to receive his love and his love and to love as he does. We learn to live our lives out of the gratitude of what he's done to free us from fear. So as we recall those relationships we find hard, let's just ask the Holy Spirit to show us what it is that we fear. Talk to Jesus about this now. The good news is that as we and others heal our brokenness in the presence of Jesus, learning to build relationship the way God intended, relationships can be restored and made new. We can return to our families of origin, to those broken relationships, without fear and a will to love. So let's just take a moment to recap. I've covered a lot of things. God commands us to believe in Jesus as his Son and to love one another. When we love, we know we have passed from spiritual death to new life. We see that there is a link between people believing in Jesus and loving one another. We know other people will recognize us as Jesus' disciples if we love one another. We know that when Jesus' followers obey his commands and love sincerely, they live fearlessly with peaceful, restful hearts. They give to those who are in need and they share their resources. Their actions align with their words and they operate out of a sincere heart. The Bible teaches us that the secret to building the church and extending the kingdom is to believe in Jesus and to love one another. Love is complete when we eradicate fear. You see, fear demonstrates we are not trusting or abiding in Jesus, and in the context of relationships, we are not complete in love. Therefore, we need to allow others to challenge our fear. Recently, I've been praying for Alpha and I've been praying for and asking God, why is it we're not seeing many people choosing to follow Jesus? I would even go as far as to say that I find it hard myself to invite people to come to church or to Alpha. And I'm guessing that most of you have had some sort of internal battle as well. Could it be, it's just a question, could it be that as a church, we're not quite complete in our love and we don't fully believe Jesus is the Son of God? Despite our giving, our gathering, our serving, our worship, we've just somehow not quite fully learned to love one another in the way that God intended. And we do not see many come into faith. Maybe all we need is to grow even deeper in our sincere love for one another. It's something for each of us to ponder, isn't it? Would others look at me and would they see a deep love of the church? How am I following Jesus? Am I living by fear or by faith? How are you doing? I believe this is God's word to us. If we will learn to love with a sincere heart, if we will challenge fear within ourselves and permission others to challenge the fear they see in us, faith will rise and belief will strengthen. Signs and wonders will be more commonplace, more will choose to follow Jesus, and all our lives will become abundant and much richer in relationship. And the church will grow as others see our love for one another. It's a powerful witness. This is what we all long for, right? Yeah. So let's take some time to quietly reflect with Jesus now. And if you're able, let's just stand. So Holy Spirit, just come reveal your deep and sincere love for us, that we might love others in the same way.